Our first scripture reading for the ascension of our Lord is found in the book of Acts, and we begin reading at chapter 1, verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, and we read verses 15 through 23. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, and we read verses 44 through 53. "Then Jesus said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem.' You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you, from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the fact of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, as well as these words from the end of the Gospel of Luke. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and we're continually in the temple, blessing God. This is our text. Have you ever had one of those experiences where you're staring right at something, but you can't see it? I think this is an affliction that is especially part of the male species. I can't tell you how many times I've been looking for something in the house, and I say to my wife, "Honey, where is it?" And she says, "It's right there." And I say, "Where?" "Right there." I don't think I'm alone in having that kind of life experience. On one particular occasion, that inability to see something right before me afflicted me literally for years. We had some close friends during our ministry in Davenport, and they had a picture that the husband had taken. He didn't even realize what he was shooting when he first snapped the portrait. He was taking pictures of a beautiful sky. And later on, after he had them developed, he was showing them to some of his family members. And suddenly, one of the family members said, "That's Jesus." And sure enough, as she described what she was seeing in the picture, all of a sudden everybody else could see the face of Jesus in the clouds. Well, he loved that portrait. He had it framed. He hung it in his house, and sometimes when we were over there, I'd look at the picture. And I'd stare at it for a while. I could see clouds, but I couldn't see Jesus. Later on, they gave that picture to us, framed for a Christmas present. We still have it, hangs someplace in our house. And it was literally years. I'd walk by that picture and kind of wonder what everybody was seeing. And then one day, it finally popped out at me. That face of Jesus in the clouds. And forever after, whenever I've looked at that picture, I immediately see it. But oddly enough, for years, I could not see Jesus in that picture. To the day of ascension. What a glorious day it must have been. Jesus walks with his disciples. He apparently was in Jerusalem at the time because Bethany is only about a mile and a half away. He takes them out to a high point on the mountain. And as he's blessing them, he begins to rise. And then is taken up into the clouds. Apparently, they stood there, their mouths were probably on the ground as they were watching this amazing thing. In the book of Acts, we read that angels then appeared to them, men of Galilee, why are you standing here? He's going to come back. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Wouldn't it have been great to be there? To see this glorious thing, our Lord ascending to his heavenly throne. We probably would have stood there ourselves, mouths wide open, rejoicing and worshiping with great joy. But that particular day, from one point of view, happened long ago, and we weren't there to see Jesus' ascension. But to the eyes of faith, something hidden from our earthly eyes, but as clear and as real as the ascension of Jesus, is something we have witnessed. But again, only through the eyes of faith. To be at the bedside of one who knows Christ Jesus, as I have been on many occasions, including with both my parents, and as many of you have shared in that kind of experience, as I have shared before, one of the great memories of that entire experience with my father was his very last words after not speaking for literally a day. And as he was reaching a point where we thought he was going to pass from this life to the next, but then it went on for another day and a half. But we gathered around his bedside and we shared a devotional together, closing with the Lord's Prayer. And then to hear him, who hadn't spoken in a day and a half, to join in with us and to mumble along with us those words of prayer. While the body was failing, the spirit was alive and well. When his earthly body finally did give out. As with Christ, he ascended to his Lord on high and sits with him, as do all the saints. It just doesn't look like it as you're viewing the death of a believer with your earthly eyes. As they are parting from us, all we see with earthly eyes is an ending, a separation. From an earthly point of view, we see only sorrow and pain and suffering. And yes, those times are hard and they are difficult. And that's why we need to look not just with our earthly eyes at those kind of moments in life, but look also with the eyes of faith. And when you look out at those moments when life is coming to its end, with the eyes of faith, you see something quite different. What you see is the gift that God has given us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For you know, we were joined to him in our baptisms. Just as we were baptized into his death, that our sins might be paid for, we also rise with him. And just as he has ascended on high, removing his earthly presence from us. When those whom we love who die in Christ leave this world, it is not a sad thing. It's a glorious thing. For they who are joined and united with Christ live with him. As Jesus was telling Mary and Martha about their brother Lazarus, "He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Yes, the earthly shell we are currently wearing is removed from us. But as Christ lives in glory, so too, when we part from this life, we are, like Jesus, carried up into heaven and ascend on high. That's what we see through the eyes of faith. And it is glorious. Today we celebrate the ascension of our Lord. But it's not just his ascension that we are celebrating. All those who have been baptized into Christ have been united to him. And so we can rejoice also on this day that as Christ has ascended on high, we too will one day ascend on high with him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We continue our work.